I'm not sick. It's only a flesh wound.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's December 10th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 155.
This is No Agenda.
Freezing my butt off under imminent threat of global warming. And coming to you from the Minimum Security Containment Cell Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, in the morning. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're hitting record lows here during our global warming era, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's almost funny. Whenever Al Gore starts talking, you know, we get snowstorms. All he has to do is just show up somewhere.
I know, he's jinxed, that guy.
He must not be a favorite of the global elite. They must be really pissed off at him. He screwed
the overlords.
Yeah, he screwed it all up.
So top of the news.
Well, no, top of the news is our executive producer for this program, John. Rocket.
All right. So one of our executive producers is our new knight, or dame, as it were.
Oh. Okay.
Suzanne Conley. From Lake in the Hills, Illinois.
Conley, C-O-N-N...
No. Suzanne with a Z.
Yeah.
S-U-Z-A-N-N-E. Conley, C-O-N-L-E-Y. From the Conley family of Illinois. She gave us $1,000, and she's now Dame Susan Conley.
Wow. And I think, besides being able to put that on her resume, that she is the executive producer for No Agenda episode 155, I think she actually gets some kind of ribbon from the queen, does she not, for being a dame?
We just have to find some queen. And there's lots of them in San Francisco.
San Francisco is the place, yeah.
That's for so sure. Now we have a second executive producer.
Okay.
Full credit. This is an interesting donation. It's from Jordi, J-O-R-D-I.
Mm-hmm.
Ramirez, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z.
Yes.
And he gave us 5,000 pesos.
Right? Yay! Whatever that is, I think it's worth an executive producer status.
He's in Cancun.
How much is 5,000 pesos?
The 5,000 pesos turns out to be $391.23.
Fantastic. Wow. Jordi as well, thank you so much. And congratulations with your executive producer status for No Agenda episode 155. You can, of course, put that on your resume. We'll vouch for you, and it will get you gigs.
You could, if you really wanted to push it. You just put it on the bio. What difference does it make?
Yeah, like someone's going to check it out.
The thing is, it's not a lie.
No, and you know, you can even say, hey, go ahead, contact these guys. They'll vouch for me, which we will do.
Yeah. Essentially, these two people paid for the show along with the others, which we'll talk about get to later.
You know, John, just before we start, you're really sounding kind of crappy on the Skype today. I don't know if you can check something or if something's running or...
No, I turned off all the other machines.
Hmm. Well, okay. It might get better. We'll just keep it rocking.
We need to do some port forwarding.
You know, yes, we do. You're absolutely right. I've got this AT&T router, which is just a piece of crap. You know, it's like if someone walks in and they connect their laptop, the minute that it connects, then the router reboots. It's stupid. It's lame. It's just no good.
Are you going to through? This is just basically the DSL router you're talking about.
Yeah, just the regular DSL router. It can't handle the traffic. I don't know. It's just they give you the lowest of the low. They give you low quality stuff.
So well, maybe somebody can swap that out for us.
So how about top of the news? I don't know what you were talking to. Please tell me it wasn't Climate Gate, because I think there's things that are bigger that are going on.
Yeah,
right now.
There is. There's the biggest story hitting right now. I think it's all over the place. The number one dog now being turned into the dog pound is the Chihuahua.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We need to have...
And now, back to real news.
Well, I can explain this phenomenon very easily. I can tell
why this is happening. Give your explanation. I'm sure my explanation is the same.
Oh, it's exactly the same because the movie Beverly Hills Chihuahua came out. Every kid in the world, and by the way, lots of women... doing, oh, it's so cute. I want a chihuahua. I want a chihuahua. Everyone gets a chihuahua. And then it turns out that these are irritating, yappy dogs that poop everywhere and destroy your house. And so now people are like, well, screw it. I don't want this damn chihuahua. I'm giving it up. I'm abandoning it. I'm tying it to a light post, or I'm giving it to the pound. Do you like my assertion there?
That is absolutely the reason.
And this
it became the most trending dog
time.
To own.
Yep.
People in Hollywood were carrying a little chihuahua around and yapping at everything. And the thing is, it's an annoying – I mean, there are good little chihuahuas. I'm not saying there's not a couple dogs that are probably okay, but most of them are creepy. They're ugly. They yap too much. They do poop everywhere because they don't know inside from outside, because as far as they're concerned, the ceiling is, you know, so far away they can't even see it. So they're outside all the time, they think. And which is a problem with little dogs, and people, you know, this is how dumb the public is. This is the idiot public.
And I've seen people, I've seen people treat these animals like children. And by the way, I've had many, many dogs and cats, and you know, right now we have our Granola is back. Did I tell you that, John? Granola is back with his girlfriend,
the pigeon.
Yeah. So we had Oatmeal and Granola were born. Oatmeal fell to her death, unfortunately.
Untimely death.
Untimely death. Granola was left over, and Granola hooked up, and he has Gretchen, and so we're gonna have Christmas twins. They've laid two eggs, and Mama Ginger comes by once in a while, and they all three they sit there, and it's beautiful. It's happening all over again. We're gonna have Christmas twins. It's fantastic.
I think you should eat these pigeons for Christmas.
Shut up.
So, it's going to be great.
No, it won't be great.
So what are you having for Christmas? We're having granola.
Granola.
That's not any good. No, granola's a bird. Oh, okay.
So I love animals, but, you know, these people, they carry them around, they dress them up. It's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. Please. And this is, it all stems from Hollywood, and it's just, you're right, it shows you how stupid people are. And this happens with every single movie with an animal in it. Every single time. And you walk down the street, you see women carrying chihuahuas. Oh, it's so cute. And then, yeah, and then it turns out, you know, it actually, like, you know, takes some effort. You know, you're responsible for a living being. And, oh, gee, doesn't that suck? It's not quite like the movie where at the end of 2 hours, you know, go home.
Well, that's what they've done. They've taken them to the pound. So that's the end of the chihuahua phenomenon.
Yeah. Where do these dogs come from? Do they actually come from, like, Mexico?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would think so. And their name is named after, sounds like a Spanish name. So,
Tequiro Taco Bell. No, my top of the news, John, would without a doubt have to be the portal that opened up over Norway.
Yeah, well, you know the news broke on that, right?
Well, I've read a number. I have, of course, my own theory, but
You know about the Russian missile, though, right?
Well, the Norwegian government said, oh, yeah, there's a Russian missile test, and we knew that it was coming, and we forgot to tell everybody. Bullshit, John. Have you
seen this thing? Russians have confirmed this.
Well, of course they have, because what really went down is I told you this would happen. They fired up the Large Hadron Collider 3 days ago, and the first thing that happens is a black hole appears. And where does it appear? Right over Norway, where Obama is about to be. This is not coincidental. This is not coincidental. In fact, I can tell you exactly how the science works. The science is in. John, the science is in.
And everyone agrees.
Yes, everyone agrees. The science is in. Allow me to tell you exactly how it works. So on Tuesday, CERN, that's the atomic outfit who has this 23 miles or I think kilometers of proton busting crap underneath Switzerland. They fired up their Large Hadron Collider. And for the first time ever in human history, smashed together these subatomic particles in their accelerator. These were then quantumly transferred to the Partial Reflection Medium Frequency Atmospheric Radar Facility, which is located in Ramfjordon, Norway, which is operated by the Incoherent Scatter Facility in Europe. That then transferred a high-energy beam, which was pulsed vertically at 2.43 megahertz by their MF radar antennas, which resulted in this spiral light. And of course, you know, this is all coordinated. They know what's happening. They know what they're doing. And we're now being told some bullshit, which the Russians, you know, I don't know, who confirmed it? Did Putin come out and say, oh, yeah, yeah, shouldn't we be concerned? Shouldn't this be top of the news, by the way? No. No, John, this is the science is in on this one.
Fine, what's the point of it?
Well, it's an attack on the extraterrestrials.
Oh, okay.
It's part of the space wars that have been going on for the past 2 years that we've been talking about, if not longer.
So do you think they blasted them? Did they knock these guys out of the air?
I think they tried, yeah. Absolutely. You know, there's another theory, which I also kind of like. It could have been an ion cannon coming down from the other direction. All of this, by the way, documented with the science being in. There is no dispute. Thousands of scientists already agree on this. in the show notes at noagendashow.com. But if you haven't seen this thing, if you have not seen, I mean, it looks absolutely beautiful. Mickey, actually, she hadn't seen it yet, and I showed it to her last night. She said, you know, it's got the golden rule in there.
Looks doctored.
What do you mean? You mean the pictures are Photoshopped? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
No way! Do you know how many, have you seen how many amateur photographs there are?
Yeah, they're
of this?
All different.
They're all from different angles. Okay, John, please tell me. So you actually believe this jabroni cockamamie story that it was a Russian missile that spiraled out of control, so you can actually believe that the spiral had something to do with it. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I have to say that this excuse for what this was is pretty lame, A, and B, why are the Russians launching intercontinental ballistic missiles? I mean, if they were doing that, they have to inform the U.S. in advance, otherwise we think they're attacking us. And we haven't said anything about this. In fact, we've been kind of mum about the whole thing. And I'd like to know why it's over Norway. Or I guess you have the reason, because there's something there.
Well, yes, there's stations there. But it's not coincidental. Obama's on his way to Norway, John. Come on. This is it's a test firing. It's like testing 1-2, 1-2. Testing 1-2.
We'll follow this breaking story here.
Hold on. I can't believe you're being so cavalier about this. This weekend, European news agencies are reporting tons of falling stars, which, of course, is debris. Where are you guys going? Okay. Bye, baby. Yeah, we got Molly Wood picking up Mickey here, taking her out for... What? Okay. Wait for a second, John. We can talk about Molly after she's gone. Hello?
How do we switch from one topic to the next?
All right, I'm back. So the European agencies, meteorological agencies, are predicting tons of falling stars this weekend. Yeah.
Yep.
No kidding. It's the debris. Something was blown up. Something happened. In fact, if you look at these pictures, you can see that my assertion, my theory, my thesis, if you will, of it being reflected from the ground station there. You can see that it actually comes from, you know, the light is emitting from a spot behind the hills, which is in Ramfjordun. And I'm not quite sure what the incoherent scatter facility radar and ionospheric heating device does, except scatter ions, apparently. You know, this could be a part of HARP. I mean, I just can't believe that everyone's just like, ho-hum, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, yeah, oh, of course, Russian missile. Oh, yeah, all right. Hey, how about that Tiger Woods? Hey, let's bring the Chihuahua to the pound. I mean, what is it? I can't believe people are so cavalier. It's like, oh, who gives a shit? It's just some beautiful blue thing that showed up. Just, you know, and oh, yeah, that's where our president's going.
Coincidence? I think not.
And just move along with your lives, people. Oh, I have a jingle for that, don't I? Yeah.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
So Obama apparently has stiffed the Norwegians. There's an interesting following the news on this visit of his, which may lend credence to your overall thesis. He shows up in Norway, and then he's not going to have lunch with the king or whoever. Like, he's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. And so the Norwegians are all bent out of shape about it. And that was the early reports. Nothing's really changed, but those reports have all been kind of pushed to the side. Now it's like, they're not talking about it anymore for some reason.
Well, yeah, of course, because Obama sees this thing showing up. It's like a big bat signal saying, don't come here. You're like, I think I should cancel a couple of appointments. Could you look at my calendar, please? Of course. And no one's talking to me. You know what we need? We need another huge scandal. And so now we need to have a Tiger Woods 2. We need to have, some guys come out and say, oh, I fucked him. That's what we need, something desperately. You watch. They need something desperately, because if this catches on, if people actually start talking about this. Now, on the other hand, I will say that this could be used as a distraction away from Copenhagen. That's also very possible, and we could be falling right into their lair.
You.
Yes. I will say also in the show notes, there's a wiki page on the Hesdalen lights, which are, quote, according to Wikipedia, which is probably written by some CIA, I'm sorry, a civilian in the Pentagon. These lights are well known and have been recorded and studied by physicists. One explanation attributes the phenomenon to an incompletely understood combustion process in the air involving clouds of dust from the valley floor containing scandium. Some sightings, though, have been identified as misperceptions of astronomical bodies, aircraft, car headlights, and mirages. I just wanted to give you another, it's all in the show notes.
Scandium, eh?
Yeah, what is scandium?
I don't know. I never heard of it.
Mm.
But it's obviously something to do. Well, since it says scandium, it was either discovered in Scandinavia, or because these, higher elements are usually named after somebody, like einsteinium. Mm. And
curium.
And there's californium and berkelium. And
Dvorakium. Now, other, I think there will be many religious theories to this, that this is, if you look at it, that this is the Tower of Babel. Because, the spiraling idea, maybe I think some people will pick up on that. I just think it's something to, like, really pay attention to, because I have never in my 45 years on this rock have I ever seen. I mean, it the whole thing looked absolutely Photoshopped, and I just went like, no, come on, that's like a drawing. And then you look at the video, which is not doctored. I know what doctored video looks like. You look at other pictures like, holy crap, this thing is amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. And the coincidence is just, you can't deny that. And I told everybody, the Large Hadron Collider. And what was that big black hole that all of a sudden, that ominous, turned it into a black hole? Let's just call it what it is. It was a black hole. Now go ahead. Let's talk about chihuahuas.
If it was a black hole, how come it didn't suck everything into it?
Well, we don't know what it did or didn't suck in. It could have been just a test firing, but, have you seen any of this on the lamestream media news?
I didn't watch much lamestream media news this week.
Chat room.
They don't talk about anything, those guys.
Yeah, they do. They talk about all kinds of really good stuff.
It's mostly Tiger Woods.
It has
been. Well, you have a theory about the Tiger Woods thing, too. You might as well give it to us.
Well, yeah. So the point of this program, I think, in a lot of what we do is we disseminate and deconstruct what lamestream media is doing, which, and I have many examples today, by the way, of how completely controlled it is across borders. It's not just... it's not just in the U.S. I mean, I have so many good sound clips to play for you. I do have a theory on that. We know that the CIA is very angry at the Obama administration, and this has been confirmed and corroborated by Uncle Don, who said, these guys are pissed off because the CIA used to talk directly to the president. And now they've put this whole layer in between. What is that bureau called, John? Can you remember?
The bureaucratic conundrum.
Yeah, that's the one. And we've discussed this many times, have had many examples on this very program. So they're fighting the president. And, now that he's weak, the poll numbers are starting to waver, if you believe polls at all. I typically don't pay attention to them, but you cannot deny that people are talking about poll numbers.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
Let's go back to the premise here. Why would Obama not want direct contact with the CIA? Is he like doesn't want to hear anything? He just doesn't want to. He holds his hands over his ears and goes blah, 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 so he doesn't hear it. I mean, what is the point of – it seems to me if I was the president, I'd want direct contact with the intelligence agencies.
I think that it's impossible. These guys are loyal, okay? They're very loyal to Bush and Clinton, who, of course, were two sides of the same coin. They had their own agenda. You know, it's like warring. It's like the Bloods and the Crips. You know, they've got warring factions inside the global elite. There's just no doubt about it. And you can't just say, okay, I'm the president now. You know, now we'll all be cool, and now it'll be my agenda. And of course, he threw them under. You know, they got thrown under the bus with the torture, enhanced interrogation. So, you know, they're just really, really pissed off. It's not working. You can't just say, I'm the new boss. You know, say goodbye to the old boss. Hello, here's the new boss. It just doesn't work that way. And, you know, these guys, like, they're probably working on the drug shipments from Afghanistan to Arkansas. And you know, they're involved with the Clinton-Bush cabal. And then these new cats come in, who, of course, are just completely socialist. And fascist, I should say. And they have a whole different agenda. They're in it for themselves. And maybe they're not paying them off enough. I don't know. So what do? You take a good-looking, by the way, the guy was in line for a Congressional Gold Medal of Honor for his sportsmanship and all-round excellence, which has now been canceled. Which, by the way, I don't think his sportsmanship has anything to do with it. If anything, he's quite a sportsman, apparently. And you know, he's a clean cut, great looking African American citizen, and it's associative. He you know, it's like Obama. And oh yes, and may we point out that it's all white women that he's been having affairs with. So it's a complete discreditation of the president by association, and that's why they did it. Now there are many, many.
You're saying, wait, let's make that more clear. You're saying the CIA set him up.
Yes, and the CIA does that through their association with National Enquirer, which is well known.
And they did it, right. And they did it because they just
to get rid of him, to weaken him.
Yeah, okay.
I don't hear any, I don't hear you combating my theory there.
I'm liking it so far. I mean, let's face it, we have a very high-profile person who's making, you know, I guess the highest paid guy in sports, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. They're obviously going to keep tabs on a guy like that because it's like, you know, for his own good, if nothing else. And they've obviously known about this. In other words, they're spying on him, as you would expect. And they knew about this forever, and so they went to one of the rags. I forgot who broke this.
National Enquirer.
Okay, well, the National Enquirer does get a lot of good stuff. It's a known fact, by the way. For people out there who don't realize this, the National Enquirer is actually one of the most accurate, and the journalists know this. The only complaint the journalists have about it is that they pay for their stories. In other words, they give somebody like, you know, $5,000 to spill their, you know, tell everything they can, and then they write it up, and that's unsportsmanlike or something. I don't know why the mainstream journalists don't.
They don't pay for air tickets and hotels and stuff like that. Now they don't do that.
Well, anyway, the point is that the National Enquirer does it openly, and yes. But they had, like, for example, anyone who followed the O.J. Simpson trial knows that the National Enquirer had the scoop. And then, of course, the more recent burn was, what's his name, the guy who ran for president, Mr. Haircut, who's having an affair and a baby, apparently. John Edwards.
John Edwards, yeah.
John Edwards, married to a woman who's dying of cancer, has and that's broken in the National Enquirer. So anyway, so the possibility that the CIA is somehow connected to the National Enquirer in some sort of a...
I'm going to put a link in the show notes that shows that association. I'm going to put it in right now.
So they break a story about Tiger Woods, just time it just right, and bingo, you got something going on.
Yeah. And it's all to weaken the president. And there's a lot, let's face it, there's a lot going on right now. And this, and you know, if you know anything about history, this is not the first time these forces have been at work. I'm sure you've heard of the business plot, John, against President Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yeah, actually, we blogged it. You can look it up in Dvorak.org/blog. It's a very interesting. They tried to actually get General Smedley Butler, who has an interesting book that you should read. Anyone out there can dig it up. It's called War is a Racket.
Correct. And that's actually what he said, right?
That's the name of the book.
Yeah, but that was a famous quote as well. War is a racket.
Yeah, it's a racket. And so Butler was the number of all. By the way, these are all Democrats that tried to get Roosevelt out.
Thank you.
They're all rich Democrats, they're all named, and they solicited Butler to become the next president, and they were going to pretend that Roosevelt was sick or something.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, Butler turned on them and said, "Screw you guys," and then blew up the whole plan. And then, but because it was so many big shots involved in this plan,
right? To overthrow Roosevelt, who was involved? Let me just give you fill in some of the facts here. Prescott Bush was involved, who was George W.'s grandfather, H.'s father, who a well-known fact and documented that he financed the Nazis.
Yeah, he was a Nazi.
He financed them. He literally financed the Nazis. So it's the same people who are now bringing down Obama. It's nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. That's all this. That's just, you know, that's just different flag. Doesn't make any difference. But it's the Bush Clinton cabal. The Clintons work for Bush. Bill Clinton was in charge of Arkansas, MENA, Arkansas. Look it up, MENA. And he was receiving all the drugs through military transport, and he was doing that under the Bush's auspices. People don't read anymore. Read, people. Read. This is documented historical fact, and the science is in.
And everyone agrees.
Everyone totally agrees.
Adam Curry, John C. DeVore, read a brand new book for you, or do a little movie review, so you don't have to. We chew them up and spit them out on No Agenda.
Which kind of leads me to my next point.
So they got a little Guns N' Roses action.
Yeah,
in
it's
there.
Nice, isn't it? Yeah, that's.
He needs to grind his voice a little more. I think he'd nail it.
That's our buddy who does the Climate Gate jingle as well. I'm reading a new book, which was recommended by one of our producers by a guy named. The name of the book is National Suicide, and written by Martin L. Gross. Have you ever heard of this guy?
Yeah, actually, his name rings a bell.
So he wrote this book, which, of course, no one will read, which is why I'm reading it for you. Of course, I will put an Amazon link in there so you can pick up a copy. And he is a financial analyst. The guy, he's up there. He's like 76 or 77 years old. And what he does is he gets the real numbers on the real deficits, and he gets it from the GAO and other departments within the U.S. government, and he basically lays out in very simple terms how the all administrations, so not just the Obama administration, are basically using financial accounting trickery, which is, you know, this is all companies do this. It's like EBITDA or GAAP or, you know, all these different ways to present your numbers. And he's saying, look, the national deficit is actually more like $23 trillion. But he really lays into all politicians, Republican or Democrat, but really, really lays into the Democrats. And he's just saying, look, these people are megalomaniacs. All they do is care about themselves. He, by the way, is the guy who has uncovered thousands of different credit card fraud cases within government. And it's a fascinating read. And he's just boiling everything down right down to the healthcare bill. And, you know, his assertion is, look, these we've been hijacked by I don't completely agree with the socialist bit, but he says we've been hijacked by socialists, and all they care about is power. All they do is, you know, take your money. I mean, it's all the stuff we already know, but the way he breaks it down is just so beautiful. And he pointed something out which I didn't clearly understand when it comes to the accounting of the healthcare bill. that Medicare, John, is not actually a part of the health care bill. Yeah, they're talking about it, but that's not on the books of the federal government. It's on the state's books. So that's why, you know, you can basically add another $750 billion to this thing, which is not showing up in the numbers, because, of course, it'll reduce the deficit. He's like, you know, if we don't stop, if we don't vote every single one of these jabronis out of office, well, you know, the country will be completely, really completely bankrupt in, in like 5 or 10 years. And he goes in to explain that by 2011, we'll be paying up to close to $1 trillion a year just in the interest on our deficit. And it's compounded, you know, it just keeps on going up. It's like it's an out of control spiral.
I think we should file for bankruptcy.
We should. Actually, here's an idea. Why don't we take the country public? Now's a perfect time to do it.
USA Corp.
Yeah, give everybody stock, you know, and we'll have all the other countries buy our stock and we'll take it public on the world exchange, something like that. But it's so I will finish this book by Sunday, and I can give you a full
rundown.
What's
the name of it again?
It's called National Suicide: How Washington is Destroying the American Dream from A to Z. Martin L. Gross. Great book. Just phenomenal read and very easy to read. And he has another point, which I think you'll agree with. He says healthcare. So what? Because, you know, he obviously has figured out as well that at the end of the day, old people are not going to get health care. That's how nationalized medicine works. You know, at a certain point, and I've seen this in the Netherlands and in the United Kingdom, Gitmo Nation East, is, it's like no more health care for you. I'm sorry. It's time for you to die. You're no longer useful to society. And he says, this is crazy. Health care should be for old people. So young people need much less health care. It's old people. Once you hit 70, then, you know, shit starts to go wrong. That's when you need the health care. And any country that doesn't take care of his elderly is morally bankrupt. And look at any tribe. Look at any indigenous people. They respect and they take care of their elders. No, we don't. Kill them. Like Newsweek had on the cover a couple of months ago. Weeks ago.
The case. Play the clip.
Which one?
The congresswoman.
Oh, I was thinking, which one did you want?
Because it will not put seniors in a position of being put to death by their government.
No, this is already decided. This is what they want. And they're all power-hungry megalomaniacs. They're completely power-hungry. They only care about themselves. They've got, remember those, 15 Gulfstreams they bought for themselves? Didn't hear about that anymore, did you?
No, they stopped talking about it.
Yeah, but they're just parked. That's just all taken care of. No worries.
And that big old, you know, notice that they've relit the big jet that Obama flies around, the big 747.
What do you mean they've relit it?
They got like lights on. It's just, you take a look at any shots of it now, it's like lit by a Hollywood guy. They got it all lit up in funny ways.
No, it doesn't surprise me, because, you know, you shall bow to your ruler, slaves. Course.
Meanwhile, of course, they fly two of those things everywhere they go, and they go to, I mean, who knows what the footprint is, the carbon footprint on this idiotic event in Copenhagen. And the funny thing is, of course, is they have all this public transportation set up for the delegates, and now there's just one, you know, show after another showing these dead empty buses because everyone's coming in on limos.
Yeah.
And the point is, which I think is accurate, is if these guys are so sincere about this stuff, why aren't they walking to Copenhagen?
It would be such a small gesture to make. Can you imagine the press if all these guys, just for once, if they all showed up in, you know, even if it was sponsored hybrid vehicles, okay? I mean, even that would still make it good. Or if they just showed up walking. You know, just walk a little. Now, I know the weather was crap because, of course, you know, with all this global warming, the weather
wasn't raining.
I'm sorry?
It wasn't raining. It was just cold.
It was very cold. And, you know, so they wanted to be nice and toasty warm. But yeah, what was it, like 1,200 limos, 150 jets? And you know, obviously, you're stupid if you don't think that the people are going to pick up on this and run with it.
They had to bring limos in from Germany.
They had to drive people in from Germany because the airport was congested. They couldn't. There were too many jets coming in, so they actually had to. They came in from Sweden and from Germany driving. Well, We might as well do it then. Just to show you how out of control these people are, how full of themselves they are, I have a clip here. Let me just find it for a second. This is from CNN. Al Gore has written a global warming poem.
The most news in the morning. CNN's American Morning. Weekday, 6 a.m. Eastern.
All right. That's the poem?
No, oh. Here it comes. No, so the CNN reporter catches Gore in the hallways at CNN. I guess he was doing some interview or something. And please, when you have a chance, look at this video. You should probably, it's a YouTube video, embed it, you know, send people this link. Because you look at the guy, and this is a typical, Mickey nailed it. She says, this guy, he looks like someone who's just gotten the power and doesn't know how to handle it, and he's full of himself. Listen.
Mr. Vice President, first things first, we want to know, why did you write this poem? Are you trying for Poet Laureate?
I didn't intend to. The truth is, I wrote 28 pages when I was writing this book on the latest impacts of the climate crisis. And since the book, Our Choice, is all about the solutions, it didn't really fit anywhere. So I kept trying to squeeze it down to where it would fit. And I came up with a few lines, and then
the guy actually believes that he's like a great poet. He's like, I squeezed it down, and you know, if only I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter, as my colleague Mark Twain once said.
Said, oh, well, what the heck, try to make it into a poem. So I'm not a poet, but I did my best. One thin September soon, a floating continent disappears in midnight sun. Vapors rise as fever settles on an acid sea. Neptune's bones dissolve. Snow glides from the mountain. Ice fathers floods for a season. A hard rain comes quickly. Then dirt is parched. Kindling is placed in the forest for the lightning celebration. Unknown creatures take their leave unmourned. Horsemen ready their stirrups. Passion seeks heroes and friends. The bell of the city on the hill is rung. The shepherd cries, the hour of choosing has arrived. Here are your tools.
All right, John.
The guy, I'm telling you, the guy is nearly an L. Ron Hubbard.
He's out of control.
Acid ocean.
The horsemen ready their stirrups. Do you think Tipper's going there? Oh, Al, you make me so hot when you read your own poetry. Oh, Al, I love it. Oh. Ugh. It doesn't even rhyme.
No, well, it doesn't have to.
Thanks, John. I really needed that.
I think it would have been better if he had a little more cadence.
Yeah. And if he hadn't stumbled over his own words, it would have been much better. So let's just run through some climate gate stuff, because this is
okay. You have a theory about this too. I want to emphasize, which is that, you know, so what happened, of course, in the first day was a leaked memo.
Yes, this is the memo that was the actual text written by the Danes, the Brits, and the Americans, which is supposed to be the treaty itself, of course, because, you know, everyone's there jerking off, looking at their, comparing babushkas, whatever they're doing up there for 2 weeks, comparing jets, I guess. But, you know, no one's actually said, all right, everyone sit down. Here's the document. Let's go over it. You know, that, of course, is going to be done behind closed doors while you have this big ceremony and everything else is happening.
Right.
So what do you want to know?
Well, you had a theory that it was like the CIA planted this thing, this the document that told all the small countries that you're going to get screwed.
I don't know if, well, no. What I said was, as we had a private conversation behind closed doors about it, is that this is no mistake.
You know, right.
I just don't believe that these things
every time you say that, I'm always thinking CIA.
Yeah, well, usually it is, but in this case, I can't really say that for sure. So for those of you who haven't heard yet, in this, what is now known as the Danish text, essentially, the UN gets cut out of the whole deal And the World Bank will be running this whole scheme. You could call it a scam, but I'll just call it a scheme for a moment. And the way they've set it up is every Western citizen will be able to emit, I believe, 2.4, you know, metric tons of carbon. You know, don't fart too much. Versus in the developing world, 1.1. So, you know, like half. So they'll only be allowed to emit half the amount of carbon as people in the West. And of course, the whole idea is that we send our tax money over to developing nations with the caveat. And this is Confessions of an Economic Hitman, the book we've discussed many times. The caveat right. is, here's this money. Here's all these billions of dollars. Congratulations. You can now combat climate change. But unfortunately, you can only do it by buying products from these companies on this list, which at the top, of course, will be General Electric.
And what TV network do they own?
Let's see. NBC, CNBC, MSNBC. They make
and
lots of...
And which political party do they associate themselves with?
I think it's the Democratic Party, John. I think that Jeffrey Immelt is on the president's senior advisory team. And according to the incredibly transparent White House, he's there a lot, hanging out. So, but of course, it's everyone's on board with this. It's not just NBC. If you listen to Katie Couric, who of course is CBS, she has her her notebook from Copenhagen. Of course, finally propagated by the Huffington Post, another shill in the machine. I'm going to bring up the video here. This is of Katie Couric talking about the emails. Hold on a second. Here it is. And
while you're playing that, I have to rush out of the room. I'll be right back.
Do you have to, like, go emit some carbon?
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. It's only a minute. Will you be back in a minute?
I'll do my best.
Maybe I should just, like, do a little intermezzo here. This doesn't sound good. That's strange. Normally, John reacts well to my Folgers crystals.
All right, all right.
You're back? You okay?
Yeah.
I'm worried about you, my friend. You okay? I mean, is everything all right?
No, I had to... There's a little...
Yeah, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. All right, so here's Katie Couric with her notebook.
It was the chihuahua that we put in the garbage can. Got out.
Katie Couric, who, of course, is up in... I don't know if she's up in Copenhagen, but this is her Copenhagen notebook.
She either that, she's in front of a green screen.
Okay, right, yeah, she's in New York, but she's pretending to be in Copenhagen. And so these emails and computer programs and falsified data comes out of the science that is supposedly in. And here's what she has to say about it. Katie Couric... with her notebook.
An ominous cloud is hanging over the climate change summit in Copenhagen, as toxic as carbon emissions. It's a cloud of doubt about the science behind global warming. There's a scandal in the scientific community right now known as ClimateGate. Hacked emails reveal a handful of scientists may have manipulated or concealed evidence that would have weakened their argument that the Earth's temperature is rising. But at least 97% of climatologists believe global warming is real and largely man-made. A picture is worth a thousand emails, and pictures of the...
Hold on a second. Did she say 90% of all scientists?
No, she said 97.
97. How many are there? How many scientists? What kind of news is this? Let me hear that again.
Climatologists believe global warming...
Wait, let me go back a bit there. That's funny.
...that would have weakened their argument that the Earth's temperature is rising. But at least 97% of climatologists...
That's just a bullshit number. She just made that up.
97% of all numbers are bullshit.
Just believe global warming is real and largely man-made. A picture is worth a thousand emails, and pictures of the polar ice caps show a 20% decrease since 1979. NASA images of Arctic ice show a thinning of more than 7 inches a year since 2004. What the scientists did was wrong, but most experts agree that the science itself is not, and the health of the Earth should not be a political issue. The atmosphere...
The whole thing is a political issue. It's all about politics. What is she talking? Then close down Copenhagen. Shut the doors.
Here, after all, can't handle too many more people blowing smoke. That's a page from my notebook. Yeah. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
Somebody's blowing smoke up her.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the question. I'm going to go up all the way anarchist left wing. Okay, let's assume all this is true. Why do we want to have cap and trade? If we're sincere about this whole thing, we would only have cap.
Oh, yeah. Well, so of course.
So what's the point? What has the trade part got to do with anything?
Yeah,
if you're sincere about this, you don't fly a jet to Copenhagen. You don't take a limo. And you don't have cap and trade. You just have cap and you walk. So somebody, there's something fishy about the whole thing because they're basically lying. They're insincere. If they were sincere, they'd be walking. And they wouldn't have cap and trade.
Or ride a bike. You know, think of the PR you'd get. It'd look great. People be like, oh, cool,
it
man.
They can't be bothered. And the thing is, they don't care because people that out there are eating this crap up, Katie Couric being an example, you know, all counts of foreign relations folks, are eating this crap up like there's no tomorrow. And so they can just throw it in their face. Look, let's see what else we can do that's outrageous that nobody will notice.
Well, what's pretty cool,
let's
though,
do a smudge pot here right in the middle of the convention center.
So it's really heating up, this climate gate, going over to Gitmo Nation East, the United Kingdom. So there's this dude named Mark Morano who's running a great website called climatedepot.com. And you please visit that website. He has just tons. I mean, it's real. It is the depot of all of the ClimateGate articles. I got a lot from it for today's show. You know, by the way, Al Gore canceled his $1,000 plate. Actually, $1,000 a meeting because you get a private picture and a light snack for him to sign his book in Copenhagen. So he canceled that. I like that, by the way. You get a personal picture with the vice president and a light snack. So this guy, Mark Morano, who's been maintaining this website, is on at the same time with Professor Andrew Watson, who is from the CRU. This is the East Anglia University, one of the guys whose emails was hacked. And this is it's about 2 minutes, but listen particularly at the end to what happens. So, of course, I have to say Morano is he could have done a little bit cooler. He's a little full of himself, which I think is a shame. But also listen to the journalist. So you got to imagine, John, so you have, it's two remote shots. You've got Andrew Watson on the left-hand side of the screen, Mark Morano on the right-hand side of the screen. So it's you know, climate change advocate versus climate denier. And then the BBC journalist in the middle, and this is Newsnight, which is without a doubt the number one most respected news program in the United Kingdom.
Said Trump should be banned from the process, sir. You can't act as though this is skeptics. Your fellow colleagues
are saying
this. Hang on a
second, Barbara, let him answer your
will
question.
Will you stop shouting?
Will you stop shouting? Stop shouting at me. It's hurting my feelings.
Sure, I'll stop shouting.
Oh, good. I don't agree with Mike Hume that the IPCC has run its course, I don't agree with a number of those people. The thing that but what I would agree with is that the science. Will you shut up just a second?
Ooh, shut up! Now, tell me this isn't a guy who's on the losing end of an argument and can't find the words when you start talking like that.
The only thing that science has got going for it is that it must be absolutely and totally open, and we have to look at the important issues,
okay,
not the issues of character assassination.
Mark Morano, I want to ask you, what effect do you think this is going to have on the Copenhagen summit? I mean, presumably the timing of all of this wasn't coincidental.
Well, first of all, Copenhagen was going to be awake anyway. President Obama had said the U.S. wasn't going to do anything. European environmentalists.
But President Obama has just said he's attending not just the start of the summit, but the climax of the summit, which Gordon Brown believes is going to add weight to the negotiations.
He's probably attending because they're circling the wagons because of the magnitude of this scandal. You have UN scientists turning on UN scientists. This is the upper echelon of the UN, and it's been exposed as the best science that politics and activists can manufacture.
Finally,
Professor Watson's whole argument is, trust
finally,
me,
Professor
take my
Watson,
word for
this is a disaster, isn't it, for the people campaigning on climate change?
It's it, it's a real setback, not because there's anything wrong with the science, but because the character assassination and the temperature of the debate, which...
And by the way, what is calling someone a denialist? That's not character assassination?
Can just see from our colleague in America, is just obscuring the important issue, which has the world warmed in the last 100 years or not?
Listen,
we'll have to leave this, as you both said, a very heated debate, literally. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed, Mark Morano and Professor Andrew Watson from the UA.
What an asshole.
Did you hear it?
What an asshole?
Yeah, at the end, Watson says, what an asshole. Listen to it. Listen to
Mark Murray.
That drone should be banned from the process, sir.
Andrew Watson from the UA.
What an asshole.
And he's talking about character assassination?
Yeah, and he says, what an asshole, at the very end.
And he's talking about character assassination?
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah. Yes. A very good point was made by Dr. Roy Spencer, who's a PhD. He says... what if this was about cancer research? Do you think the debate would have been the same way?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
or anything else for that matter that didn't involve cap and trade and funding.
And of course, what happened in back home in these United States of America is Lisa Jackson, who is another, you know, never worked a day in her life at a real company bureaucrat, comes out and in 20...
Head of the EPA.
Head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Comes out...
And the most smug woman you can imagine.
Oh, you just want to slap her around. She comes out and says, hey, you know what? Carbon dioxide, it's toxic. It'll kill you. So, sorry. You wanted to just hear a little bit of her announcement? I happen to record it, I'm sure.
Oh, I'd love listening to her.
Good afternoon, everyone. And a special hello to those who are online.
Hey, everybody. Big shout out to everybody there on the interwebs. How you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. How you doing? Hold on. Fuck.
We know that skeptic...
Sorry. I'm messing it up. Here we go.
And to everyone on the phone. The scientific community, the business community, and the policy world have spent decades studying greenhouse gas pollution and climate change. Scientists in the United States and around the world have tracked in the last century, and in particular in the last three decades, alarming increases in the amount of greenhouse gases in our skies. That increase is deteriorating the natural balance in our atmosphere and changing our climate. There have and will continue to be debates about how and how quickly climate change will happen if we fail to act. But the overwhelming amount of scientific...
It's interesting. She says that climate change will happen. She's not saying it's happening right now, but the debate is about how quickly it will actually take place. There's a small nuance, but I thought it was interesting.
Studies show that the threat is real, as does the evidence before our very eyes.
You mean all the snowstorms that I'm seeing? Is that the evidence before my very eyes, Lisa Jackson?
Yeah, or the 22-degree weather we've got around here.
Yeah, nice.
Polar ice caps crumbling into the oceans.
Crumbling into the ocean.
They do commonly.
Yeah. By the way, not a scientific analysis. No, they're crumbling into the ocean.
Changing migratory patterns of...
What does that mean, changing migratory patterns?
Some birds took a left where they could have taken a right, or some Canadian geese over here on the lawn.
Okay.
And they could be flying around.
Animals and broader ranges for deadly diseases, historic droughts, more powerful storms, and disappearing coastlines.
Okay. I mean, where is that evidence?
The storm thing has gone down, actually.
Yeah, there's less storms. Disappearing coastlines?
What disappearing coastlines are we talking about?
I don't know.
They keep, you know, a lot of people refer to those islands. I think it's the Maldives or whatever. A TV commercial where they took their city councilor, they took some people, and they put him on the beach in the water, saying this is the way it's going to be someday in the future because of rising sea levels. And now everybody thinks the place has disappeared.
Have you seen the, there's a couple of videos that, of course, were made by the cabal known as the advertising agencies who've put together these videos. So you see the polar bears dropping out of the sky. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you hear an airplane, and then at the end of the day, it's like, for, you know, for each person who flies on a transatlantic flight, you're killing a polar bear. It's like, if you jerk off, this kitten will die. You know, it's like, it's horrible. And then they have a kangaroo who decides to kill himself by jumping in front of the train. Have you seen that one? Oh, they're all in the show notes. And there's one long one, like 4 or 5 minutes, where a dad puts his daughter to bed, and, you know, after seeing something on the news about, you know, not just something, but seeing all these horrible people dying and famine and burning up in the desert. And then she dreams and she wakes up in the desert, and then there's a flood and she's dying. And it's just, yeah, it's crazy. And with the kangaroo.
What sick agency is behind these?
It's Ogilvy.
You sure? You don't know that for a fact.
Well, I think it's all part of the Copenhagen stuff. I don't know for a fact, but it is part of the consortium.
We should look into it and find out who actually produced the stuff.
Yeah, we will.
They should be publicly shamed. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
don't these advertising people have any shame at all?
No.
Don't they draw the line someplace?
No, not at all. And it's even worse. Did you see the memo that 56 newspapers printed? Every single, you've seen the memo, haven't you, John, with the editorial?
Oh, yeah. We blogged it.
Right. 56 newspapers in 20 different countries were very proud of themselves that they all coordinated. It took such a long time to write it. And of course, the commie rag in the UK, Gitmo Nation East, The Guardian, coordinated all the efforts. And it's like, we have to act now. It's like, how can you be an objective newspaper if you're getting on board with any type of policy? You can't. And if you subscribe to that paper, you should burn it right now. Burn it. Burn it, I tell you. Burn it.
It was shameful.
Totally
the
is.
The editors would do this. It is absolutely unbelievable to me.
Well, no, it's... Well,
they didn't even do this when Hitler came to power.
Good point. Speaking of which, let's get back to our government.
After decades of this mounting evidence, climate change has now become a household issue. Parents across the United States and around the world are concerned for their children and grandchildren.
Yeah, throw the kids in there.
Governments are investing billions in adaptation strategies. Businesses are investing billions in efforts to cut greenhouse gases.
Are you investing anything to cut greenhouse gases, John?
I'm taking Tom's to lower my output of farting.
Good.
Military planners are projecting new hotspots of instability and conflict.
What I mean, so because of climate change, military leaders are predicting hotspots of conflict. Where is that report? She's just
pulling it out of her big ass,
and it's big.
They know that if we do not act to reduce greenhouse gases, the planet we leave to the next generation will be a very different place than the one we know today. In 2007, the United States Supreme Court handed down perhaps the most significant decision ever reached in environmental law.
Who was in the Supreme Court in 2007, John? What shills were in there?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know who was in it. I mean, the Supreme Court of 2007 is, you know, I think Senator Dale Conner was still in there. Scalia, Rehnquist, I think was still, maybe not.
Well, so who appoints? The president appoints the Supreme Court, yes?
Yeah.
And then the Senate has to approve.
Confirm it.
Confirm, yeah. Okay. So this is where the setup really.
It was Roberts. Yeah, Rehnquist was gone, I think, in 2007.
Okay, so what did they say? They said, well, the EPA can basically determine what's good or bad for us and make regulation.
The court ruled that the Clean Air Act, the landmark 1970 law aimed at protecting our air, is written to include greenhouse gas pollution. That verdict echoed what many scientists, policymakers, and concerned citizens...
And greedy fucks who said, yay, time to make some money!
...have said for years... There are no more excuses for delay.
I'd like to see what that was all about. Now, I have to make a note of this 2007 thing.
Okay.
I mean, essentially, there's something. There was some lawsuit or other, and somebody was bitching, and somebody said, "No, they can do that," and then they took it to the extreme. Maybe that's what triggered this whole situation with the cap and trade and the rest of it.
It's very possible, but I probably, or more likely, back to the 70s, they were trying to get this Clean Air Act rammed through and ratified as basis for bringing regulation. And you know, back then, I guess it was global cooling and the mini ice age and acid rain. So they just needed some legislation. They finally punched it through in 2007.
Regrettably, there was continued delay. But this administration will not ignore science or the law any longer.
No.
Nor will we avoid the
unless it comes to torturing people.
Responsibility we
or wiretapping people.
We owe to our children and our grandchildren. Today, I'm proud to announce that EPA has finalized its endangerment finding on greenhouse gas pollution and is now authorized and obligated to make reasonable efforts to reduce greenhouse pollutants under the Clean Air Act. This long overdue finding cements 2009's place in history as...
Oh, we're going down in history.
God, does she sound full of herself there.
We're going down in history. We rock. We are going to be in the history books.
As the year when the United States government began seriously addressing the challenge of greenhouse gas pollution and seizing the opportunity of clean energy reform... In less than 11 months, we have done more to promote clean energy and prevent climate change than happened in the last 8 years. Earlier this year...
Notice a little slam there towards the Bush administration. You guys sucked.
This year, EPA established this country's first and what I believe will be a world-leading nationwide greenhouse gas emissions reporting system. Next month, large emitters in the United States will begin working with EPA to monitor their emissions. Beginning in 2011, large emitters will, for the first time, submit publicly available information that will allow us to meaningfully track greenhouse gas emissions over time.
Now, let me explain to you what this means. This means two main things. First of all, this has already happened in the United Kingdom, Gitmo Nation East, where they have a Ministry of Climate Change, Department of Climate Change, DOCC. Every company will have to fill out tons of forms. You have to go measuring all of your carbon footprint crap, and you have to report that to the government. That's one. The second piece, which has already been implemented in the Gitmo Nation lowlands in the Netherlands, is you will have a GPS-based black box in your car. That's actually the second step. The first step is the license plate reading technology, which is all over the United Kingdom and already implemented in things called the congestion charge, where when you drive somewhere, your license plate will be recognized, scanned, and a bill, if you don't subscribe, like an easy pass, a bill will show up in the mail and you'll have to pay for driving somewhere. And this will all be under the auspices of reducing your carbon footprint or the cap and trade, essentially paying taxes on living, on actual functioning. This is where this is going. It's reporting and spying.
This reporting will also bring
and taxing
to light opportunities to jumpstart private investment in energy efficiency and new technologies and products, saving money, improving bottom lines, and growing the economy.
3 minutes and 54 seconds is exactly the entire announcement of a radical, fundamental change in the way we live and our taxation. And then there's
how is this saving money?
Well, they're not. They're taking money from us and then giving it.
Saving is saving money. She
yeah,
said
she's
saving
full of
money,
shit.
Saving money.
She's full of shit. She's lying. And then, of course, there was one question about Climate Gate. One question in a 23-minute news conference. You can see the whole thing in the show notes. There's a link at noagendashow.com. One question about the emails.
Mr. Jackson, several congressional Republicans had asked that you delay today's announcement pending the investigation of the hacked emails controversy.
The setup of the hacked emails controversy. Jesus Christ. I wish I knew who would ask the question.
Why didn't you delay it, and on what scientific basis have you moved ahead?
I didn't delay it because there is nothing in the hacked emails that undermines the science upon which this decision is based.
Yeah. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I did.
There's nothing in the hacked emails.
No, because
that
everybody agrees.
Yeah, the science is in.
When you see the decision, and I hope you will review it, you'll see.
And by the way, I have reviewed the decision.
See that the responses to comments include responses to questions about the underlying science, which are being raised again with respect to this particular issue. But this issue has not raised new scientific questions which aren't addressed already in this finding.
So can you give us a couple bullet points of the science itself to kind of bolster your argument?
Well, you know, I think the thing to talk about is the amount of science that's out there. United States scientists, many are...
Very subtle there. Forget the British scientists. United States scientists, because they're honest. They're our guys.
Many organizations even represented in this room have been studying this data for years. It's also important to understand, to contextualize those emails a little bit. You know, that's one thread of looking at one data set over many, many data sets and literally thousands of different threads of analyses.
So she's lying right here, because it's 25% of the data sets, because only four were used, one of them which is NASA, who have a whole agenda of their own. And many data sets and threads.
All of which reach the consensus that climate change is happening, that it's caused by man-made emissions. And then we look at that and look at the droughts, the flooding, the changes in diseases, the changes in migratory habits, the changes in our water cycle and climate that we now find affect human health and welfare.
Yes, ma'am.
Say it with me now, John. Oh, brother.
It's pathetic.
So I did read their endangerment recommendation, and I looked at all of the so-called comments. You know, I think there were like 30,000 comments, and they addressed maybe 50 of them in this document, which is available from EPA.gov and linked in the show notes at noagendashow.com. But this is what's coming, and you know it's coming because it's already been implemented in other states of Gitmo Nation. And this is the kind of stuff that we do for you on this program. And if only I had more hours in the day or less work. I've put the plane up for sale, John.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why did you sell it in Europe when it was still there?
Well, I didn't realize that all this stuff was going to happen. I had no idea what was going to come down. And now I realize that I have to quit my day job. I have to eat the plane. So I'm going to have to do that. And it's okay, because it will reduce my carbon footprint.
I'm sure they got some crazy thing. Yeah.
But
well, that's a shame.
But it is a shame. But I feel it's necessary to do. And that's only going to go so far, because in case you hadn't noticed, the market is not so good for things that burn fuel in the air. Not such a great market. So we're going to need your help, and we're going to need it in the form of donations, because on this program, No Agenda, we don't take advertising. We don't want any distractions throughout the show, and we don't want to be influenced by such as NPR and public television, who take money from big companies like Monsanto, General Electric, British Petroleum. We want to be able to have a free and open discussion as long as the interwebs are free and open. And the way we do it is through your donations.
And we have a few donors this week. By the way, I'm finally getting some explanations for the great success we have in Australia.
We have, it's been phenomenal. Have we gotten more donations from Australia this week?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I think something's happening in Australia where they're picking up on the show. But apparently Australia has got really serious duopolies all over the place, and the public, you know, the Australians are tough people. I mean, they're tough culture, and they're getting fed up with what their government's doing. I think there's a potential in Australia for some serious riots.
Well, there is, and there's also, the police have now... been given powers that they can strip search anyone at random without reason. And one thing that blew me away, one of the stories we received from Gitmo Nation Down Under, is that they're now going after knives. And I'm like, this makes no sense. The funniest thing in Crocodile Dundee is where Paul Hogan is being threatened by a couple of muggers on the streets of New York City, and they have a knife. And he goes, "Hey, mate, that's not a knife. This is a knife." And he pulls out the fucking sword. You know, this is their culture, man. These guys, they got knives. So what? This has been going on. Oh, no, but knife threat. Oh, people have the right not to be stabbed. Well, if you got a knife on you, that's your business. You can protect yourself from like a crocodile. Whatever they use their knives for.
They've been busting kids in the U.S. and the schools are being in the Boy Scouts and having a pen knife.
A pen knife, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, no, you're right. They don't like being pushed around. And I'm
they're not getting any help from their media, apparently, and they have to listen to us, and we only have a spotty Australian stuff, but it's just the trend is worldwide, and I think they pick up on that. I mean, what we complain about is really more world phenomenon than just local stuff.
Yeah, but it's the same everywhere. The same stuff
that's the
point. Is happening.
It's the same everywhere.
Yeah, it's really happening everywhere. So okay, let's run down a couple of our donors. We're
got
very thankful.
Like Vince Dunstan, by the way, is from Australia. He gave us $50. Tanya Wyman, out of New York, who keeps giving us money, and she said now she's. We call her Wyman, but she says now it turns out that her sister pronounces the name Wyman, and then it's also pronounced Vyman, and so she gave us $84 to clear that up, which she didn't do.
Okay.
Kevin Kozan gave us $50 to tell us to plug droidspot.com.
Droidspot.com?
Yeah,
okay.
droidspot.com.
All right, cool.
Jordan Wyatt, $50 New Zealand, and he wants us to read a little... talks about ANZAC support, but he just essentially really wants. He gave it a long little note here, but he says, "Go to." In fact, why don't you do this? Go to
no, John, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop for 1 second here, and I'm going to call you back because I want the donations to be legible. This is sucking horribly, and it's on your end. So let me just call you. Actually, will you call me back the minute I hang up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go.
All right, so we got Dunstan, Wyman, Kozan. And anyway, Wyatt has this link, bit.ly/hotnoagendachicks.
Wait a minute. Give me that URL again?
Yeah, I knew that you'd perk up. bit.ly, which is a counter, actually.
Oh, bit.ly?
Yeah. /hotnoagendachicks.
Hot no agenda chicks. All right, let's see what that is. Okay, you've got to check out the link. It's really hot.
You'll put in the show notes. Adam Riednauer from Ohio, $55, wants us to buy copies of Food, Inc. Alan McClelland of Dundee, United Kingdom, 50. Suzanne Conley, Lake in the Hills. She's our new Dame Knight. /night, and she gave us $1,000, and we appreciate that to an extreme. Stephen Hurst, Henderson, Nevada, 50, and then 5174, and he wants to mention tweetpurge.com.
Okay.
Tweetpurge.com. He says 5174 is the amount adjusted for inflation that $50 in October 2007, when No Agenda Number 1 was released, would be today.
Oh, really? So is it our anniversary today?
Well, it was in October, so we're in December. No. I think we missed our anniversary.
Okay. Oh, crap. Sorry. Hey, honey. happy second anniversary.
Dr. Patty in Blacktown, New South Wales, gave $60 for the long. He's the one that has his long explanation of why all the Australians like us. Kevin Bay, $100 in Glendale, Illinois. Jordy Ramirez, who is the Cancun resident who gave us 5,000 pesos.
Yes.
Kenneth Alexander, another New South Wales Australian, $100 from him. Nick Rogers, United Kingdom, gave us $50, but he was on a Virgin American flight listening to No Agenda in the air.
Yeah, that rocks. Those guys are handing out free Wi-Fi from Google.
So
cool.
he felt that he'd give us the 50 instead of Virgin America.
instead of buying that $8 sandwich, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and then finally Sammy Zahabi, who's actually in San Francisco here, or was, and he moved to BC, and he gave us 50. So we got a lot of 50s this week.
That's very good. What I would encourage everyone to do is if you're thinking of when you're on that Virgin America flight with the free Wi-Fi and you say, what the heck, I'm going to give these guys some money, Please sign up for one of our monthly subscriptions. It's very important that that continues. We need some type of ongoing continuation so we can project where we're going to eat in the future, because both John and I want to dedicate a lot of time to this. And by the way, February is going to be our month. I think that's when it's going to all happen. We really need your donations. We need it to continue the show. We need it so that I can quit my day job. But I'm gonna do the first, I'm putting my money or my aircraft where my mouth is. And, that'll at least tie to, and so we'll probably have like 6 months before it'll get really tight. But, if I can get rid of it before February, then, that'll be it. That'll be the date.
Go to noagendashow.com or Dvorak.org/NA and help us out.
Please do. Because you can tell just by adding up the numbers, it's not enough. It's not enough to keep two guys with families. And I'm paying for 2.5 households. Just to wrap
up, you are.
Yeah. Just to wrap up the climate gate, one of our producers sent me something which you might recall this, John, because this happened back in the 90s. I'm going to try and summarize it. He sent me a great PDF, which I'll also drop into the show notes at noagendashow.com, where you can also donate, about the lawsuit that was brought against a Al Gore associate. And here's what happened. There was this PhD, his name was Revelle, and he and a couple of his associates in the 90s researched climate change, carbon dioxide, you know, what it was doing to the planet. And they basically came up with the assumption, their scientific assumption, well, you know what? It ain't all that bad. We're not going to die. So they had that published in an article. And Revelle was a professor who Gore studied under, along with the guy, I got to look it up, the guy who brought this lawsuit. And so what happened is, you know, so Gore, by the way, who got a D in science,
right?
Yes. Yeah, it's all in this document. So
funny.
Yeah, it is cool, isn't it? So once he got into the White House and he brought, some of his cronies in, of course, they were setting up this whole cap and trade scam and getting ready to roll all of this out. They said, you know what, we need to remove that article from this relatively small publication, which is a part of the peer review process. And so this guy started making a whole bunch of noise and saying that by this point, Professor Revelle had passed away, saying, oh, you know, you forced a dying man into putting his signature under this document and it's not true. And so, you know, the scientists, you know, brought suit. But what's interesting is that Al Gore actually tried to have Ted Koppel on Nightline discredit this actual document. And Koppel didn't buy into it. This was back when news was actual news. And I can't, of course, you know, from the 90s, the early 90s, you can't find any video or audio. But Koppel actually went on air and said, hey, you know, I'm not going to be no stooge for Al Gore and try and discredit this document. Have a read. It's like 15 pages, but it's well worth it. A fantastic PDF that shows how Al Gore was already using his position and his power to pressure science into getting on board with his program.
Yeah, so he can do a scheme.
Fantastic stuff. And then,
By the way, I do have a correction to make, for one of our donors and one of our executive producers, actually,
for Larry Roik.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Roik. We said he's in Australia or something, but he's actually in Kilbride, Ontario, Canada. And, I think that's the only correction that we have. He gave $350 for episode 150.
Yes, and then before I forget it, I would like to thank our producer who has a very interesting website and product called freehollowbooks.com, and he sent a couple of hollow books. He sent, so it's a book, you know, we used to do this when we were kids, and you'd cut out the pages of the book and you could store cool stuff inside. So he does this as a little business on the side.
And outstanding product.
It's a great product, freehollowbooks.com. And he sent you a gourmet cookbook, and he sent me a hardcover edition of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. hollowed out on the inside.
Never been more useful than the hollowed out version.
And
and guaranteed nobody will ever take it off the bookshelf.
And it's a great book. If you haven't read Atlas Shrugged, give it a whirl. It'll take you a little while, but
the hollow version if you can.
Shut up, John. And on the inside, and this is what I appreciated the most, in true John Galt fashion, he put in some homegrown tobacco, which he grows in his own garden, and a corn cob and bamboo pipe, which he made himself, and two hand-rolled cigars, all made from his own produce in his backyard. And I have tried the tobacco. It's outstanding. In fact, I'm smoking it right now. It's really good. And no, but that's true love, man. I really appreciate the tobacco. And boy, what a difference in taste between the stuff that that you get in like a Marlboro with the formaldehyde and everything in it. So
there's no additives.
No, it's pure product.
In the backyard, you smoke.
Yeah, and the cigars are awesome. He rolled them up in his own tobacco leaves. No, it's nice. So I really appreciate it. And that concludes our donation list. And of course, we need to close the gate.
So we're going to jump to our other. I want to do a swine flu minute bit.
Oh, really? You've got enough to do a whole minute?
Yeah. It's the No Agenda Swine Flu Minute. Okay, play the clip that I have, even though this is overmodulated, and I apologize for the quality of the sound, but the clip, which is probably. There's two clips there. What do they say?
Cheetah and bridge tolls.
Cheetah. Play the cheetah.
An unusual case of the H1N1 flu in Santa Rosa, maybe the first of its kind. Zoo officials say an 8-year-old female cheetah at the Safari West Wildlife Preserve tested positive for H1N1. Ugh. After becoming sick with flu-like symptoms on November 15th. Zoologists say she recovered with no complications. They say it's the first case they know of in which a zoo animal has become sick with swine flu. Scientists say the cheetah may have caught the flu from one of her handlers.
Okay, here we go. Stop it. So, this is the most ludicrous story. For example, nobody really gets tested for swine flu anyway. So why out of the blue would they say, well, let's test this cheetah, which is sick for swine flu.
Flu-like symptoms.
I'm just not buying it.
Flu-like symptoms, I might point out. Flu-like symptoms.
So, yeah, and what's a flu-like symptom to a cat? Oh, I feel so bad. I mean, it's like, what a bogus story.
Well, you know what? If you read the CDC website.
Yeah, wait. By the way, Julie Hayner is the reporter. She said zoologist.
Yeah, whereas zoologist. Every linguist would know that.
Well, every kid who went to college.
Yes. So if you look at the CDC website, they talk about ILI the whole time. I'm like, what is ILI? And I look it up. It's influenza-like illness. So it's not that you have swine flu, it's you have an influenza-like illness, which is probably associated with something else, usually pneumonia. You know, you can actually, die from pneumonia. And yeah, it sucks if you get the flu, and it happens every year. 30, 40,000 people in the United States alone die from ILI, influenza-like illness, and it sucks, but that is life. There's a link in the show notes. This was on television last night in Gitmo Nation Lowlands in the Netherlands. And remember I told you about the guy they called Dr. Flu? He's the advisor to the government who's pushing the vaccinations, but it turns out he's being paid by Big Pharma. Remember we talked about him?
No.
Okay. Well, they did a documentary on him, and he's sitting there, and this is from a couple months ago. He's sitting in his office with his staff, and he's on the phone, and he gets a phone call, and he says, yeah, okay, yeah, great, yeah, oh, awesome, in Dutch, obviously. Yeah, okay, oh, wow, and then he hangs up, and he brings his staff in. He says, we just got a confirmation. We have the first official swine flu case in the Netherlands. Swine flu is here, which they call the Mexican flu. And they break out a bottle of wine and toast. They're all so happy.
You're kidding me.
No, this is huge. I'm sorry.
What is wrong with these people?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was whiskey. Mickey just corrected me. It was whiskey.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah. So, and he's like, yay. And they're all toasting. And what, babe?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's horrendous. Dr. Flu, Dr. Death. And he's like, yeah, we have a confirmed case. Yeah, let's go make some money on swine flu vaccines.
That's disgusting.
And meanwhile, reports are leaking out very slowly. Two children died after being vaccinated. Literally a day later. Oh, but it wasn't because of the vaccination. No, of course not. Kids are running extremely high fevers. They're puking all over the place. Now, some of that may be normal to be associated with any vaccine, but not really nice. But, you know, kids are literally...
They're puking all over the place.
It says
there's
puking.
One now.
They're you know, the news is not going to report on this.
Poland. No, you know, if you'd be a denialist.
Yes. Poland, by the way, the prime minister, Donald Tusk, says his government is not going to buy vaccines for swine flu that have not been properly tested or from producers who won't take responsibility for possible side effects. Hey, way to go, Poland. I like that. Good deal. He stressed the few dozen swine flu cases in Poland have been mild and no deaths have been reported. Excellent. Excellent. Who knew? I think that's good. But yeah, you know, they'll knock them down. They'll come up with something. They'll knock these guys down. But I'm very happy to see that. I think that's excellent.
You know, I ran into an article that's kind of interesting. You know, back to your original assumption. Oh, you want to close the swine flu minute?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Hold on a second.
It's the No Agenda Swine Flu Minute.
So back to that Tiger Woods thing where you're doing associative slamming.
Hold on a second.
And now, back to real news.
Well, actually, this is not real news, but it's the same. It piggybacks on that. There was an article written in the CNN CNN website by this. I don't know what his connection is to what in terms of intelligence agencies, but Robin Oakley used to be the main foreign correspondent for the BBC, then to CNN. He's 71 or 70 or something. He's born in 41, so he's pretty old. Anyway, and it was his use of his words. First, he talks about, let me just read some of this. I just found this to stand out like a sore thumb. He talks about few American presidents have been greeted. It's about Obama and how he's being his new reaction in Europe to him. Few American presidents have been greeted with the enthusiasm Europe demonstrated for Barack Obama, blah, blah, blah. Europeans who welcomed Obama as the candidate of change didn't expect him to agree with them on everything, but they believed that he would at least listen to them. And then it goes on and on. And then in paragraph 10, he uses the word that niggles. And I just found it, not that I'm trying to read too much into this or the fact that people use the, you know, different words that sound like a pejorative, but I've never seen this word before. I had to look it up, and I've never used it certainly, but finding it in this article, I thought was just a reminder, by the way, Obama's black. Let me read the sentence. While Europe's diplomats and politicians know that the president, too, has to strike political balances and why they recognize that shared values across the Atlantic won't always mean shared interests, a few niggles are creeping in.
Niggled?
Niggles, N-I-G-G-L-E-S.
Niggles. Okay. What is
I thought that was done. I just thought it was an unfortunate use of terminology, and I thought it was done as a kind of a subtlety that the British think is so funny. And then later in the article, there's one more thing I thought was that kind of confirmed my belief that this guy actually has some sort of an agenda. This paragraph, listen to this and tell me what's wrong with the sentence. Taliban leader Mullah Omar is supposed to have said, the enemy has the watches, we have the time. This is bull.
What the hell is that all about?
Well, it's like, you know, apparently, you know, we have the watches, meaning this article is about putting the timetable on getting out of Afghanistan.
Right, exactly. We have to get out when the clock strikes 12, but they can wait us out.
But Mullah Omar is a guy who's against kite flying and band dancing as a stick in the mud. He's not sitting there writing advertising ditties in his spare time with one-liners. The creed enemy has the watches, we have the time. That's a Madison Avenue style of retort.
Yeah,
this is bull. This is made up.
Niggles. cause slight but persistent annoyance, discomfort, or anxiety. Origin, early 17th century, apparently of Scandinavian origin, compare with Norwegian nigla. You know, I totally agree. I think this is just someone trying to be cute and funny. They probably write for Showbiz Tonight.
No, this guy's a very famous guy.
He's a dick.
That's what I think.
That's horrible.
It's a total dick, and that is horrible. But as soon as I saw it, it just stood out, and I figured it's a form of propaganda. It's the same kind of thing. You know, this is like negative. I don't know what they're trying to do. But the fact of the matter is they're after Obama for some reasons other than what we're after him for.
Okay, so let me just say one thing, or a couple of things. So what is taking place? And you really need to turn off your television very, very quickly. It is dangerous to your health. You are being mind controlled. They have a global agenda because we didn't even discuss it today in the Nopenhagen segment there. But the idea is to bring in global government. They may use the word global governance, but it's the same thing because a global government executes governance. They want to tell you what to do. We become very, very conditioned to listening and saying, oh, okay, oh, whatever. Oh, I'll put the black box in my car. Oh, okay, you know, I'll pay for driving into the city. Oh, okay, oh, okay. And they are using the same script worldwide. I don't have an audio clip, but the Prime Minister, Jan-Peter Balkenende of the Netherlands, now came out and said, bana, 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 which of course means jobs, jobs, jobs. This came on the heels of, what's her name? Merkel.
And her jobs, jobs. This is almost like code. I've decided now that the three saying jobs, jobs, jobs three times in a row is some sort of code.
Well, here it is.
Arbeit, Arbeit, Arbeit.
And now here's our vice president.
Jobs, 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 jobs.
This, and it's a well-known fact.
That was four jobs. That was four jobs. That must mean something else.
Well, it's two times two to the head is what it is. But it's a well-known fact that if you repeat something three times to somebody, they'll remember it. This is all, it's neuro-linguistic programming. They are completely setting us up and robbing us blind at the same time. Megalomaniacs who just want to take your money. Take your money and all your, you mean nothing to them. Nothing. You're poop. All you are is, you are poop. All you are is just a way to finance their lifestyle. And check
well,
the, and,
yeah, well, and, I think you're beyond poop because there's, you know, there's this underlying theme and apparently starting to show up at Copenhagen already, which is the, you know, and Obama's behind it, which is this population control issue.
Andrew Jackson, is it Jackson? I think it is. The guy who we heard from earlier, who called the guy an asshole. He's a eugenicist. Look at his writings. He's another one of these guys who says, you know, we need less people on Earth. We need to kill people. And yeah, you know, the less people you got, the less people you got to control. It makes it a lot easier. What they, of course, forget is that we're all, you know, waking up here and we're equipped with cell phones and we still have some internet connectivity so we can still shame them and bring out the real truth. Have you heard that 127 people were blown up in Baghdad yesterday in that very successful place that we're now withdrawing from? You're not going to hear that on the news. 400 people wounded, 127 dead in Baghdad because of the success of what we've done over there. Good job. Yay. Good job, Bush. Good job, Barack. Good job. Fantastic. Really, really loving it. So proud to be an American.
So play the Barack clip about getting us out of Iraq.
Oh, I don't have that handy. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, load it up as a permanent.
Yeah, I shall. And they have no shame, and they totally do little things to manipulate you. It's something I found that just yesterday, which I didn't know, which apparently happened in 2000. If you look at the stars on the Republican elephant. On their logo.
Oh, yeah, this is outstanding.
If you look at the stars on their logo, that's
the logo.
Yeah, it's the blue and red elephant. In 2000, they switched the stars from the point being pointing upwards to the two legs or...
They flipped it over.
They flipped it upside down, so it's essentially the upside down pentagram, which is the mark of the devil with the devil's horns pointing upwards. And they're just laughing at us. It's like, dude, check this out. And that shit gets right into your brain.
Flip this over and make it the devil's elephant and see if they notice.
See if they notice it.
Well, we didn't notice for 9 years.
Yeah, but your brain notices that stuff. And there's also, because it's not just a Republican thing, there's many instances of Hillary Clinton when she was campaigning to become president. She had flags behind her, American flags, the stars and stripes with the stars flipped upside down showing the devil sign. They're just laughing at you. Oh, let me tell you something else is happening. In the EU, remember the United States of Europe, they passed a law, those unelected officials in Brussels, that the United States now has the right to view any financial transaction. In the United States of Europe. The United States of America.
Why would the EU pass that?
Because.
Oh, so we. Oh, they said that we can go look at their books.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, because you've got to combat terrorism, John. Because someone might be transferring money to a terrorist. Of course. That's pretty obvious. It's crazy. Now, if you want to see the true, and this has always mystified me. And I don't think we've ever discussed it on this show. Maybe even the very, very beginning. Go look at the Georgia Guidestones. And there's a link to the wiki page for this. John, I'm sure you've heard of the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah.
It's this granite monument in Georgia. And it has a message comprising 10 guides inscripted on this structure in 8 modern languages. And it's some people call it the American Stonehenge. And here are the 10... And no one knows who put this there, by the way. Well, someone does, but you know, there's no one knows. Ooh, who put this here? I don't know.
Everyone agrees.
In English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. Here are the 10 rules. I'll do the top 10 guidestones. This is their agenda. Okay. This is how they want the world to be. Number 10. Be not a cancer on earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. It's repeated. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Balance personal rights with social duties. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. There's your global governance right there. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things tempered reason. Unite humanity with a living new language. No idea what that means. Number 2, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. And the number 1, guiding text. Maintain humanity under 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature. So the Guidestones, whoever put this up, are basically
what
saying,
maniac put that up?
Well,
this 500 million, by the way, keeps cropping up that, you know, they want to kill everybody to bring it down to 500 million.
Prince Philip in the United Kingdom said, I hope when I die, I'm reincarnated as a horrible virus that will wipe out most of the population on the earth. So we can bring it down to a manageable amount, which will be
what
this
are these,
500
what is
million.
This death cult going on with these elected officials flipping the star over, sign of Satan, all this sort of thing. I mean, how did this sneak past everybody? And well, apparently it's a real problem in Australia.
You know what? Because we were asleep, John, because we didn't have the internet. We got Al Gore to thank for that. I'm very, very happy.
That's the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the internet sneaking in, we'd be totally screwed.
Can I make a prediction?
We wouldn't be doing this show.
That's right. Within the next 5 years, Al Gore, from his own people, 2 to the head. It's going to be one of these, like, I couldn't live with myself anymore. He's going to do a poem. I couldn't live with myself anymore. Therefore, I had to show myself the door.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a plane crash.
Ooh. You think? Oh, that could be a good one. But they've got to be sick of this guy. He's messing it all up. And he's taking too much credit for everything. He's taking
too
much
credit. Somebody's got to be sick of Al Gore. And he's in the deal, but he's like making way. He's screwing it up somehow.
All right, then just to finalize some Gitmo Nation stuff. Google finally shows their true colors. Google, of course, we know that they're in bed with the feds, particularly with the CIA. They've announced now the cookie they're going to be giving everybody, the tracking cookie, even when you're not logged into Google. Oh, it'll just make your experience better. Don't worry. Nothing to see here. And of course, what percentage of the population actually knows what a cookie is and how to remove it and that you're being tracked by Google? You know, 0.01%.
Two people.
Yeah. No, what we're doing today is expanding personalized search so we can provide it to signed out users as well. This addition enables us to customize search results for you based upon 180 days of search activity linked to an anonymous cookie in your browser.
So anybody out there, I mean, I'm sure that most of the virus scanners and Adware scanners will find this cookie and erase it. But for anybody out there who's a coder that wants to just track this cookie down and make a little bit of code that you just click on and the cookie gets blowed up, we'll put it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. And then from the world of finance, little Timmy Geithner has extended the TARP, the $700 billion bank bailout program, until December 2010, so another year extension. Let me just give you an analogy for that. So you go to the movie theater, and your kid really, it's like, oh, I really got to pee. Oh, this is an emergency. I have to pee, but it costs 25 cents to go to the bathroom. So you give the kid a dollar. Kid goes to the bathroom, comes back. Oh, whew. Oh, that felt much better. Thank you. I was on the precipice of disaster there. I almost had a huge accident. And you say, hey, all right, give me my 75 cents change. No, I'm going to hold on. You're not getting your change back. No way. I might need that for another year. It's our money. Why can't they just say, all right, well, here's $500 billion back. We didn't use it all. Oh, no. We're just going to keep that. We're just going to do whatever we want, which, as you know, the piece of paper that was signed was full authority to do whatever they want with that money.
Yeah, no, it was a blank check.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing with the government agencies and the EPA itself or anything that the government does where they take some money from you. They never give it back. You know, that's always the old, should you give them, you know, just like that every once in a while, one of the agencies will say, well, we don't know what the fee is going to be, but why don't you send us $1,000? And we'll work it out later and give you the result. You never get any money back. You'll never get it back. It's a black hole.
Over Norway. There's a famous example in the Netherlands. There was a Prime Minister Kok, K-O-K, but we like to say Kok. It was Kok, but Kok sounds better. And he at one point added 25 cents to the price of a liter of petrol, known as Kok's Quarter. And he said, we just need this for right now, but we'll give it back. And from time to time, someone still remembers and says, hey, remember the Kok's Quarter? When are we getting that back? You're never getting it back, ever. Ever. Your money.
So they do the same thing here in the Bay Area. They just decided they're going to jack up all the prices of all the bridge tolls another dollar. I can actually remember when it was 25 and 50 cents.
You have a clip here for bridge tolls, don't you?
Yeah, but that clip is so overmodulated.
Yeah, it does sound like shit. Yeah, I agree.
But there is something funny on that clip, which is they went out in the street and they started talking to people, and they had a dummy that says, well, you know, we really need the money. We're in bad shape, so I'm all for it. Okay, so there's somebody for it. By the way, they went after person on the network, on the local news, and they never found anyone said, this is crap, this bogus extra dollar. Why are they? We don't have enough money as it is, and they're just stealing more of our money.
It's an extra dollar? That's like a 25% increase.
Yeah, it's four now. Now it's going to be five. And so they may even make it so the carpool lanes got paid. I mean, they're just basically raping the public. And so they get all these people to say, oh, well, it's just the way it is. We're in bad shape. This woman who says it's a great idea, she doesn't say, well, we got a bunch of corrupt officials and we're paying people too much money. And they've got it. They essentially get a retirement for life at full salary. Why don't we do something about that kind of nonsense rather than jerk around the public? Meanwhile, there's another dingbat, some teenage girl. They ask her what she thinks. She says, it's an extra dollar makes it a lot easier because now I can just give them a five and I don't have to worry about the change.
Oh, of course.
What an idiot.
What a douche. And, of course, Neil Kashkari, who was Hank Paulson's butt boy, another Goldman Sachs shill. He's out of the White House not even a year. And he's now going to PIMCO. Fine financial institution. Which, by the way, is that not Rick Santelli's company, PIMCO?
Is it?
I have a feeling it is.
I don't follow Rick Santelli that much. I think the guy's... The guy just annoys me to an extreme.
Well, that would kind of prove the whole point, because he came out, you know, yelling and screaming about a year ago. Oh, this is crazy. They're killing America. They're all in the same game, and we're not in it. That's what you have to understand. We're not in the game. So to stay,
there's only a few people that are in it, and they tend to be Bilderbergers or some of these, like the Bilderberger that showed up at the conference.
Oh, at the new president of the Copenhagen. Climate Conference. Yeah, she's a Bilderberger. And boy, she was like wet with anticipation when she was announced as the president. She's like, we must not fail. We have to do this now. Seal the deal. We've got to go.
Well, it just gets worse by the week.
It does. And you know what? I would really like to do a third show. Because we get into, there's just too much. I have so many links left over in my notes. I'll publish them all in the show notes, noagendashow.com. We need to continue. We need to do more. We need to do much more. I think that we are a reasonable voice amongst all of the craziness. One thing for sure that's happening that's very good is our audience is growing. The numbers are increasing. We're seeing like a 20% increase month over month. So that's pretty good. It needs to go. We need... like what they call the hockey stick. We need to really start exploring.
Yeah.
Or as they say in Silicon Valley, to the right and up. Over to the right and up. Yeah, so, that's right. We need a hockey stick.
I just want to mention a couple more headlines that I want to just kind of touch on. One was a big headline showing up all over the place saying Goldman Sachs, they've decided to take it on the chin. They're not going to receive cash bonuses, with the emphasis on my behalf, on the word cash.
Right, and they're going to receive stock bonuses, which they're just going to go and sell.
Thing. It's bull. They're going to receive cash bonuses, and they think, "Oh, okay, they're okay
did
now."
Did you see what they did in the UK? The Bank of Scotland, which I think is owned for 80% by the people, because they were the first bank to be bailed out before it even hit in the US. So they're going to give out £1.5 billion in bonuses. Of course, everyone's up in arms. It was like, what? Are you going to give these guys bonuses? It's our money. We own the company. They failed. And now you're going to give them bonuses? Like, oh, yes, well, we have to keep them on board. Otherwise, they'll go abroad. They'll go work somewhere else. We need these fine people. And so Darling, Minister of Finance, comes out and says, you know what? We're going to put a special tax on bonuses. Someone said like 40%, they're going to tax 50% on bonuses. Big deal. Big deal. Who cares? And that's to shut everybody up. Shut up, slaves. Sit down. Be quiet. We've got it all under control.
Well, I guess that wraps up our show.
That was
light and breezy.
I can't find anything happy to talk about.
Find two or three listeners for us, everyone out there who listens to the show and enjoys it. And so we can get our numbers up, because if we get our numbers up, we get our pay goes up. And besides that, we get a movement going on here. We get more knights and, people that have a clue.
Yeah, we really do need more people. We need more revenue coming in so that we can do more. I have been spending extra time, less sleep. Don't feel bad for me, but I'm just saying how much more effective I could be if I could do it like during the daylight hours. I'm going to get something going on the stream. I can't wait any longer. I just want to get something started. And as I said, I've put my aircraft up for sale so that I can quit the day job and have at least 5 or 6 months to go. And then hopefully you guys will catch up, because something has to happen. This is my destiny. I feel that this is what I have to do. This is the next thing. This is where I have to be. Yeah. You know what, John? Just to remind everybody of the formula before we close the show.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
But I need some boxing gloves to do it.
By the way, if anyone wants to look for a new meme, I think this is going to crop up this week. We'll probably talk about it on Sunday, because I think it's going to start to build, because there's so many articles that use it. It's like the H1N1 pandemic is mild so far, but a second wave is
possible.
Ah,
the second wave is coming. That's right. The second wave is on its way. So let's give more money to the pharmaceutical industry. We'll keep our eye on Nopenhagen, Copenhagen, Dopenhagen. And I'm sure we'll have more to report next week. But it looks like the whole thing is kind of blowing up. And it's good. Long live the hackers. I love you guys. You, as I've said many times, the hackers will save us. Keep exposing. Keep sending us stuff. Keep hacking away. It's very important. You're doing excellent work.
And don't forget, if you have credentials in Copenhagen, you can use them with hookers and they will become Ropenhagen.
NoAgendaShow.com. Please help us out. Donate. Dvorak.org/NA. Coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in the Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation West, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Chile, northern Silicon Valley, where global warming is freezing everything, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll be back for the early service Sunday morning, 9 p.m. Gitmo Nation West time with No Agenda.
$1 billion. And it's just hard to accept the notion that we couldn't negotiate with the counterparties at that time.
We had no leverage. If we didn't pay off, they would say, you're bankrupt.
Well, we wrote a check for $180 billion to AIG. If we hadn't done that, they would have been in trouble.
Well, to AIG, but not to the counterparties.
The counterparties would have been in trouble, too.
Well, that's all true, but the most of the firms were foreign. We had no authority or leverage over them.
You're the chairman of the Federal Reserve. You got
I don't abuse my supervisory power.
Apparently not in that case. Senator Biden.
Korean authorities arrested journalist Yuna Lee and Laura Ling
to consolidate your credit card or other debts.
Are you consuming too much lamestream media, or are you even consumed by them? When you're exposed to lamestream media, it's like feeling you're fading into the background. The economic crisis, the loss of your home, job, and your car can intensify the feeling of hopelessness and pity. This can lead to total loss of personal goals, celebrity addiction, and fatigue in the morning. One option proven effective to treat lamestream media is No Agenda. For many, it's only one dose in the morning. Here's some important safety information you should be aware of. Call your doctor if you experience unusual visions, confusion, or thoughts of aggression. No Agenda can damage your hearing abilities, deteriorate your limbic system, and overturn your judgment of facts. No Agenda can cause blurred vision and drowsiness, so use caution when driving combat vehicles or handling guns. Cases of ass itching, depression, and lost trust in global currencies the authorities and your government cannot cure. Be aware that in combination with any kind of vaccination, No Agenda can cause nausea, spontaneous depletion of your bladder, and lost muscular tension in your sphincter. Lamestream media don't have to consume you. Ask your doctor or Google for No Agenda. If you are self-medicating, remember to take No Agenda only in the morning. If you can't afford paying for No Agenda, ask how your credit card company or your bank can help. No Agenda, because lamestream media don't have to consume you.